1 year. It's been 1 year, y'all. It's been 1 year since the first confirmed death related to COVID-19, something that has changed the world over. And we've been dealing with this for a year, technically over a year, if you're watching the news, because the first reported cases were as early as December, early January. And I believe it was Friday the 6th. The 6th, that the first confirmed death in the United States due to COVID was reported. What a year, right? What a year. And it continues on. Again, 2020 doesn't feel like it's ended. Doesn't look like we're getting a check from the new administration. Doesn't look like militarized police officers are going to stop being put into the streets. Protesting has subsided. White kids have gotten a lot less criminally minded when it comes to the killing of innocent people in public. So COVID has been, a gift and a curse to many. The pandemic, right? Plandemic, right? What a year. As we continue this year, Ron, as we continue fighting for ourselves, right? As we continue fighting for the scraps that we're allowed to compete over, there seems to be growing camaraderie, especially on online apps, as if all apps aren't online. But there seems to be growing participation. There's a lot of dissemination of information when it comes to investing, when it comes to Forex, when it comes to, you know, productivity, learning, all these different things. I think there's a lot of opportunity for growth. There's a lot of opportunity for genuine studying at YouTube University. But the issue is really finding time for yourself. The issue is, how do you manage your job, your kids, your hobby, as well as these things that you're trying to change your life with, right? Whether it be growing a business, becoming a social media influencer. There's just so many ways that our time is being sucked up. And, you know, I think life seems to be kind of like Walmart. You know, Walmart, everything feels like it's $3 or $4. So your cart gets filled really easily. And when you get to the checkout, you've spent $200 on a bunch of $3 and $4 items that you probably could do without. But you were like, hey, you know what? Because these are $3 or $4. Yeah, I can stand to do without that little bit of money. And it feels like that with our time. It feels like I can only speak for myself. It feels like I have really struggled with not just allocating time to do what I want and to do the things that I know is going to be fulfilling for myself as well as my future, but really collecting those free moments into a chunk of time, into a block of my life. That's been a challenge, and really managing not just my expectations for myself, but managing what I do want, right? How are we manifesting these things in our lives? How are we creating the soil, I guess? Not just how are we laying the grounds? How are we cultivating the soil? Not creating the soil, but how are we making our lives that which, once that opportunity or once those blessings do come around, they grow quite easily because, you know, we've been prepared for it or waiting for it, or we're kind of bringing that energy to us. As I spoke last week about, you know, how we are to use our focus and our time to create the lives that we want, much of that has to do with the creation of the end goal. And that end goal, I think, in working backwards from that end goal, seems to be something that a lot of philosophers of old talk about. You don't really plan your life and you don't really figure out that you're going to do X, Y, and Z at this step, that step, and the third. But instead, you find out where your life wants to be and you live in that moment. You really, really believe that that moment is possible. You live in that energy. You create that field of possibility. And then you leave it up to life to make that happen. You leave it up to life to bring that life into fruition, because truth seems to be stranger than fiction. you can't really imagine the way that the world is going to provide that life for you or those opportunities. But instead, you direct yourself into the direction that you want to go in, and then you set it on autopilot and let life do its thing. I also mentioned about Neville last week, and I wanted to give a little bit more information and to break down one of his lectures. Neville Goddard is someone that I find highly interesting, and it's not because of his voice or his topic, but it's really a genuine feeling. I don't think anything that he's saying isn't said anywhere else, especially in this New Age movement, but there just seems to be a feeling that I highly regard, and I've been going with that feeling lately and studying his information and seeing the way that he's been able to disseminate the information that was taught to him by his teacher, Abdullah, who is a Black Jewish man that has since passed on. This Black Jewish man took him under his wing, took Neville under his wing, and was able to teach him a lot of what he is sharing with the world. It feels so validating when you see that somebody that you regard and somebody that you, some information that you're hearing comes from a source that's older than that person, right? Neville was a young British guy that grew up in Barbados, and his family seemed to have a little bit of wealth. He was able to kind of travel back and forth and do his thing. But being able to attach yourself with his teacher, which we know very, very little about, is something that I've really taken pride in. And though there's not much information on Abdullah, there is Neville, and we can study Neville knowing that the information that he has, although he's able to break it down and give it to us in a way that he is able to do, we know that he is speaking from a voice that is older than him. Last week, I also mentioned that those generations that come before us have really been shaping the lives that we're living. And unfortunately, they are kind of closing our viewpoint, right? They're closing our aperture as to what's possible. And every once in a while, you'll get someone like Abdullah, you'll get someone like Neville, that reminds you that, yeah, you can bring a lot more into your view, into your worldview, into your perspective, into your interpretation of what is going on, and work from a different place, especially with the tools that we've been given. And one of those tools is the Bible. And while the Bible seems to be something that the Council of Nicaea has put together and has been, tampered with and translated to fit someone's idea of what the masses should do and should seek, there is still some irrefutable fact, right? There are things in the Bible, there are analogies in the Bible that still resonate highly. And I'm going to take this time to discuss over the course of this episode a couple of those. The first one that I want to discuss is John 14:20, John chapter 14, verse 20. And I'm reading from the New International Version of this scripture. And it goes as this: on the day you realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. I think this is really powerful because it doesn't talk about a person. It doesn't talk about a memory. It talks about a power. This discusses a way of being able to approach the world, knowing that whatever you are, whatever help, whatever you seek, has to begin from you, right? Whatever you need has to start from you. Whatever you lack has to be fulfilled by you. And not necessarily saying that you're the one to go out and do it, but you're the one to identify that need, that lack, that power is within you. Use it to attract whatever you want. This isn't one of those like law of attraction kind of episodes, because that seems to be, to me, half-assed. That doesn't seem to really discuss the full scope of why that law works, of why the law of inverses work. Instead, we are just given a little portion of our aperture is really closed. We're giving a little portion of that information, and then it does work. So let's use that to move forward. And instead, I really want to break this down and talk about how we are able to step into who we are, right? Step into what we are, what we can be, and how we can do that. So join us, join me, join the podcast community, join Small Chops as we discuss what's possible in our world and how we can bring them about through the words, through the lessons, through the teachings of Neville Goddard.
You are that fiery being that descended, not because of anything that was wrong when you descended. The fall is not because of any mistake on our part. It's a predetermined plan to come down into the world of death and decay and
one thing that I've been taught, and one thing that I think is pretty common when it comes to, I guess, just growing up in the 21st century, is our belief in our own power is really limited by what we know from the outside to be true. I believe what we know is that we spend a little bit of time on this earth, right? You try to do good. You try to do the things that are going to get you that golden ticket. It's not supposed to be luck. It's supposed to be merit-based, based off of the life that I've lived so far and the information that that's been shared with me. It's not about going to quote-unquote heaven, whether or not I want to. It's really about living the life that will get me into heaven. And all that is still a hope, right? All that is still a guess by many people. So we live a little while. And we hope, with no proof, with no prior association, but because a couple of people before us said that this is true, we're just banking on that to be true. And that is a very limited way of living life, I feel like. And not many of us, I guess, question that life, or it's a little bit too inconvenient for us to really deal with the ramifications of not believing that to be true, right? So what are our alternatives? What can we do instead? How do we use this power of sovereignty? How do we use this power of self-determination to create the world that we want to live in here and beyond, right? Because saving all our treasures for the next life or for heaven or for the afterlife, that seems to be a waste, right? Like, who wants to live old if all the good stuff is going to be on the other side of life? I'd rather get there sooner than later. The good die young, you know, I've heard that before, but I'm in a rush to get to the end of this stage and level, like Super Mario. I'm in a rush to hit that flag and jump down that tunnel so I can see, you know, what else is next. We come down here because we've missed the mark or disappointed some higher power is what I've been taught. I grew up in private and Christian school. Mother took me to church, you know, as often as she could. And so there was a real guilt about incarnating in this body, right? There was a real guilt about the carnal desires and what I want for, what I have an appetite for. And, you know, we're taught that we should, one, resent the fact that we were born. Right? That this is punishment in some way, shape, or form. We were spiritual beings living in wherever we were living. And then we had a great fall. And now we have to work our way back into the good graces of whoever is in charge of where we used to be. That doesn't seem to be fair. And I think that also helps parents a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, that helps parents. That helps authority, period. Not just parents, teachers, judicial systems. That just helps it be a little bit more palatable for those of us that aren't born in these high affluent societies or parts of society. Instead, we are made to believe that our merits and our good deeds and our capitulation to the authorities and powers that come before us will allow us a greater life here and a greater life beyond. That's really hard to wrap my mind around. It's hard to wrap my mind around now that somebody would perpetuate that, because after unlearning what I've learned for so long, it feels like I could have been so much further along had I just been given the proper tools or the right information to live a life that is a little bit more fulfilling, right? To live a life of responsibility, to take control, to take the reins and to know that whatever I'm looking to do can be done, but in a very particular manner, not just working hard towards this goal, not just, you know, putting my head down and grinding for a decade or two, and then I'll be able to manifest what I want. Instead, really having a true intense desire and pushing forward with that desire. That's rare. And that's something that I hope works. That's my guess. I'm not putting my chips on the fact that somebody's going to come and save me and take me away and to a better place, or that they're going to be able to take control of my mind and my body and help me to live and work in a better way. Instead, let's be sovereign. Let's exercise these options that we have, good or bad. Let's do both, and let's weigh the options and see which one makes us feel better and which one does more good to those that we care about.
If coming down, wearing these garments, we knew who we were, pretending that we were men, we could not accomplish it. Any more than an actor on the stage, pretending that he is Hamlet, can actually play that part.
Imagine that. Imagine a predetermined plan to live this life and then forget that we're here, right? And the reason that we forget that we're here is because we can't just pretend to be human. Imagine if you were, it would be like being an actor. It'd be like being a stage actor. If we could pretend to be, you know, a person, knowing that we're more than that or other than that, we wouldn't genuinely experience what we needed to experience to have the breakthroughs and to understand life in a way that is novel and genuine. Instead, we'd be able to take off the mask whenever we wanted to. And when things didn't go our way, we'd be able to tap into our divine power that we already knew we had before we incarnated here, and then kind of alter the way that things go. Now, how can we truly understand love? How can we truly understand suffering? How can we truly understand the rain, sunshine, snow, accidents, poverty, wealth, when we think that we can do whatever we want outside of this? We can press pause and then or throw in a cheat code and then get exactly what we want. And I really subscribe to that. As you've heard in my previous episodes, I really subscribe to the fact that we create this. We start at the end again. We want to have X and Y experience. We want to be able to see what deep loss feels like. And then we choose the life that we're going to live. We choose the people that we're going to meet. We choose the scenario that we're going to live in order to experience that deep loss. And then we forgot that we chose, and we live out that life. Being able to pretend we're human doesn't make it any more effective. But instead, we genuinely become the people and we take off those divine garments. Christ is defined as the power and wisdom of God, right? So Christ was never a person. Christ was never an individual, but it is more of a attainable goal for all people. And that Christ consciousness, whatever you want to call it, is tapping into that, is the remembering, right? And it's not getting it from anyone else. It's really kind of tapping into that, whatever you want to call it, subconscious you, overconscious you, that part of you that knowingly separated this human body or this human consciousness from that divinity. And being able to tap into that is really, really powerful, especially when you really, you look at the world and you look at that, none of this is supposed to make sense, right? The human, the logical linear thinking mind cannot understand what that power is because of, you know, what physics does. And because of, again, linear time, that is just not a possibility that I thought, or that many of us think, is part of this experience. And when you test it out, when you really put yourself in these scenarios to kind of make the matrix glitch a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, this is really powerful. This is something that I'm still trying to test for myself. So I can't say that I've been able to, you know, I've been able to say it's tried and true. But I am seeing that the more consistent I am, the more. I guess, belief currency that I pour into this particular bag or bank or investment, I'm starting to really, really see some tangible evidence that this is more than just wishful thinking. You know, this does feel like a certain level of control over my sovereignty and over the way that I want my video game to be played.
I am this, I am that, I am the other. You are declaring yourself to be. And that sense of being is God. That's God. Now, what are you going to put on it? All things are possible to God. All things. You could say now, as you're seated here, after first affirming that I am, you could then assume that I am, and you name exactly what you want to be. If you believe what I tell you about your own I am-ness, and remain faithful to what you have assumed, that assumption will harden into fact.
I really like this clip. I like this clip when it comes to the I am. This version of I am, or this interpretation of the Jewish language, this interpretation of the name of God, quote unquote, is very personal, very personal. God seems to be, in Neville's teachings, God is the human imagination, which is shared by all of us, but which is explicitly individual. I cannot share my imagination with you, nor can you share yours with me. Your imagination doesn't necessarily affect me. My imagination doesn't affect you, but it can affect everything that I do with you. It could affect how I view you. It could affect how I interact with you. It could affect how I speak to others about you. My imagination is extremely powerful, but it is limited because it is solely my imagination. So having something that's limitedly infinite is such an interesting paradox, which again is something that I highly believe in. It's never either or. It's more often than not, it's both and. And the human imagination doesn't seem to be any different. This is very much true when it comes to whatever terms come after I am. In my life, I've always said that I am forgetful, and I have consistently been forgetful about many important things, many trivial things. And I've always introduced myself as somebody who is forgetful. So looking for that grace, looking for that understanding. But that hasn't increased my memory any. That hasn't increased my capacity to remember. That hasn't increased the empathy for a forgetful person. It's just manifesting the fact that that's true and nothing else. So taking these teachings into my own personal life, I am someone who remembers. Those things are both important and important to me and to others. I am someone that has all of the tools necessary to remember all of the things that will bring about a life that is better than the life that I lived yesterday or the life that I lived even earlier today. It is part of the relationships that I'm going to strengthen, and it is part of my personal development to achieve and be who I want to be. I really, really like what he talks about the I am. I think that that is something that, right or wrong, your imagination can manifest those things. So be really, really careful about what comes after I am. Really be careful about who, quote unquote, God is, because that I am makes itself true with your words. Spelling is just that. It's a spell in incarnate, and putting forth those efforts to limit the words, to limit the thoughts, and to really change that dynamic, I think there's nothing but positive that can come from that.
Down with the blue bloods has nothing to do with the social structure of the world. It has only to do with church protocol. All external worship, all ceremonies, everything that leads the individual outside of himself. To put a little cross on the wall and then bow before it and see it as something external is not what Scripture teaches.
Without thinking in the paranoid state of conspiracies, and there is, you know, an overlord looking to take you away from your sovereignty and your power, there is something really important about whoever you're praying to, that they are not apart from you. Neville talked about praying to a cross on the wall. puts the divinity outside of the person. And because the divinity is outside of the person, the power is outside of the person. And that is one of the most poisonous things to human development. And no one's saying that you need to be egotistical enough to start praying to yourself, because yourself is the self is a very small portion of who we, quote unquote, actually are. Right. And he talked briefly about the, you know, down with the blue bloods or death to the blue bloods. And he's not talking about a specific group of people or a specific class. He's talking about that notion of being able to pursue power outside of you versus cultivating the power within. And I really resonated with that when I first heard it, simply because of the way we pray. The way we pray, we're praying to someone who should be within us. Should, that's a very dangerous word, but we're praying for a divinity, we're praying for a presence, we're praying for all of these different things that are from the inside out. Just like the prayer is inside, that which is prayed to is inside. And there was another verse that he talked about, John 3:13-14, John 3:13-14. And this says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, right? I think that was really interesting because it talks about if you want to achieve something, if you're trying to get to a place, the only way that that place is reachable by you is if you had incarnated from that place first. And almost whatever you do, you're going to return back to that place because it isn't a place that you need to work towards getting into. It is part of your divinity. And that is a part of your life experience here on earth. Getting back into that place is something that happens whether you do it right or wrong, based on your imagination. Your imagination says that, you haven't lived, you feel and you're convinced that you haven't lived a life worthy of getting admittance into these places. You're not getting there. But when you understand that whether or not you've lived this life in accordance with whatever laws you abide by, but you're here for the experience, you're here for learning, you're here for, you know, raising your vibration, you're here for uplifting the world, you're here for service to others. These are all parts of your personal development that when you end in this physical body, you can bring that experience back with you. Verse 14 says, just as Moses lifted the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And this can be talked about in Indian, would you call it religion? In Indian history, let's say, let's talk about the Bhagavad Gita and how that Kundalini energy will be raised, that spinal energy, that serpent, the same serpent and the same spine that's in the caduceus that is used by the healthcare system. These images say so many things, and part of that is the raising of that energy, the raising of your consciousness, the raising of your awareness of your powers and your gifts and your responsibility towards other people. This is what the Bible says in several analogies that is part of our task when we incarnated into these bodies.
And I start from scratch, only imaginative state. And then I boldly assume that it is real, that I am actually experiencing that state now. And then in the not distant future, that state crystallizes in my world. Well, then I have found God. I have found the source of the phenomena of life. My only concern then is to share it with others and tell them, for they're all one, your consciousness, your wonderful human imagination, that is God. And all that you behold, though it appears without, it is within, in your imagination, of which this world of mortality is but a shadow. So you can change the shadow if you change the object, for you are the light. He said, I am the light of the world. Change the object that you're holding within yourself and identifying yourself with it. Change that object, you're light enough, and you'll cast a new shadow upon the world.
So of course I wasn't going to forget to tell you about how. How do we do these things? How do we use that power? How do we begin to place that faith currency into the possible? And Neville said it best. Neville says, to lay with your heart, right? To be still. You don't go outside to get those things achieved. You go within. And part of going within is really sitting with yourself, sitting with that being that speaks to you through your mind, your heart, being with that energy and putting out what you want, what you really genuinely, truly want. I thought it was really interesting that the Bible verse about, I wish I remember the verse, but it talked about how God said, if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you hate me or love me intensely than to be wishy-washy or to be lukewarm. That lukewarm business is something that I've been guilty of in my life, right? Being like double dutching, two steps in, two steps out, or getting in, or being about it for a little while and then just kind of like finishing off and not going back to it. I think that's a little different from failure or not being able to be consistent. I'm consistently trying to be consistent, and that alone has a consistency that needs to be valued. Not every day that I wake up, I remember that the greatest salesman in the world, my 10 scrolls that I want to share with myself and that I want to be a part of, that I want to develop into a major habit in my life. Not every day do I get to remember to do that. And then when I do, it's not at the time that I wanted to do it. And so it really does feel a little inconvenient. And so I try to start again tomorrow or next week. And the same thing with any of my yogic practices, the same thing with any of my journaling. It is something that I definitely want to do and make a part of my life. I want that good habit to be developed. And it isn't always easy, but that constant trying is where I'll never fail. I forever will be trying to do that. Instead of being lukewarm, be intense about any of your desires. So if you desire to have $85,000 at your job, make that a priority in your life. Make that a time where you sit with yourself, with your heart, you lay down and you say, you know what, to myself, this is the life that I have. I am making $85,000 a year. And you leave it up to your body, not the body, you leave it up to whatever is bigger than the body to bring you into that place. You don't constantly dwell on it. You leave the instructions for the universe or that energy, and then you kind of let it go. You let it be, and you let them take over. You let that energy figure out how it's going to do it to bring you to that end that you want. So it's always good to start at the end, know what you want, and then leave it up to the universe to manifest that with you and for you. Give thanks to the end. Let that which is in me devise the way to manifest that end. I think that is a little bit of what Neville was saying in that last clip, is to really be one with that, act as if it has already happened because it has, and now just walk into it. You know, spend your money in places where you know this is where I can afford because of the income that I'm making. If you're always going to be cheap, you'll always live a cheap life. If you're always looking to penny pinch, you'll live your entire life penny pinching. If you think you're not good enough for love, or you think that love is elusive and that it's not the right type of love for you, then you're never going to find the type of love that you figure the rest of your life can benefit from. Instead, live as if that love is already on its way, and you just have to make sure that you're prepared for it when it gets here. How? By being exactly who you are. What do you do? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm still looking to manifest that in my own life, but that isn't a priority. Right now, I'm looking to really build a life that can support what I like to do, that can support who I want to be around more and more. And then with those things, I think that I will allow myself to attract whatever I would love to have for the rest of my life or for as much time as I can. And it's an inside thing, not an outside thing. You are the light. I love this analogy about the light, right? So you are the light of the world. And whatever you focus on, whatever object you focus on, you cast that shadow onto your world. So if I'm casting the shadow of, if I'm holding on to pain, if I am looking through the lens of pain, that is exactly what I'm going to see in my world. Now, it's not to say that you should ignore, you should live this kind of new age, everything is all like fairy tales and hope dust or whatever. It isn't about ignoring the pain and ignoring your past, but it is very much about intensely focusing on bringing about that which you desire, that life that you want to lead, those feelings that you want to really have on a day-to-day basis. It's about bringing that out and staying in that. And with that, the light analogy is if you're holding this object of love and you are the light, you cast love onto that which is beyond that object that you're holding. So the world that you're casting your light upon is going to be a world of love. The world that you're casting a light on is going to be a world of like adventure, positivity. And, you know, you can never fail. You can never fall. You can only have trip ups or whatever. And that's been something that I've unconsciously done. I've considered myself a very lucky person, above averagely lucky. And I think I've lived through that. I've lived because of that. I've been able to travel. I've been able to experience the world as a lucky person. And knowing that now I'm doing that on a subconscious level, I can bring it up to my conscious level and create that moving forward. Right. So, cast that shadow on the world from objects you want to see in your world, because you are that light, and those shadows aren't something to run away from. Those shadows are almost like on the opposite side of your light.
If you are lukewarm, you're told in scripture, I'll spew you out. Would that you're either hot or cold, but because that you are lukewarm, I will spew you out. You can't do anything if you're lukewarm. You must be intense about it. You want to be rich? All right, can be rich. You want to be known? You can be known. No matter what you want, but you must be intense about it. And then commune with your own heart upon your bed, and then let it drop. You'll read that in the fourth Psalm, the Psalm of David.
I get real frustrated sometimes because I listen back to my podcasts and I hear so much quote unquote new age business going on, right? Positivity, focusing on the manifesting of the world and blah, blah, blah. But I really want this to be a podcast where you know that life is holistic. There is both the good and the bad. There's yin and yang. And I want them to be integrated. It's not about ignoring one part and focusing on the other. It's about really being with that one part. I think our next episode is going to be with somebody called Krishnamurti, and the way that he doesn't answer any of these life quandaries, but instead provides us with more simple questions to ask ourselves, is really impactful for me. And I think it's going to be something that you enjoy. As always, on Sundays, you should be able to find an episode of the Small Chops podcast on effable.co. That's EFFABL.co. You'll be able to also find me and my musings on Instagram at the same name, EFFABL.co. And join me in a conversation on Twitter, EFFABL. I'm also on Clubhouse under the same name, Effable. I'm tired of being able to live in a world where all these things don't get discussed, right? Where we're at a time. Yeah, forget all that. Forget all that. Let's talk about it all. Let's have a discussion about it all. And let's share these different points. And whatever we sound like is what we sound like. Sometimes I sound crazy. Sometimes I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I promise you, there is no formula to doing this. There is only intense, intense desire. And I have an intense desire to share all of this information with you. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Whether it's for my cousin that's in Miami, whether it's for my brother that's in Key West, whether it's for my cousin that's in Nigeria, or whether it's for a friend that I'm yet to meet. I want you to be able to use this as a resource in your daily life. And I thank you for being a part of this this process. You are the reason I'm going to be consistent with this. And to the moon. To the moon. This has been another episode of Small Chops Podcast. I'll see you in a week.
All I ask is to go to the end. If I go to the end and give thanks to the end and for the end, it's done. Now let the one in the depth of my own being devise the best means to take me to that end. The end is where I start. The end is my beginning.